Seth, let me just interject this. Is there anybody here that stayed, Brother Jim, which, anybody stayed at the Hampton Inn and left this notebook? We thought it was a fella named Anthony George, but as I looked through it, there's several other outlines. You got one from Louis Gigolo. All right. Okay, well, anyway, if you hear about somebody that's left a notebook, they can have this one. And if do what now? Well, you know, my feeling is that when this thing's over, if nobody claims it, you can have it. You know, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to be preaching any of Louis's outlines, but but anyway, Brother Seth, come and introduce your man.
Well, thank you. My name is Seth Hahn. I pastor Grace Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia, and I'm the moderator of the Chattahoochee Valley Independent Baptist Fellowship, and it is a joy to be here. I have enjoyed today. What a wonderful day it's been, the preaching. The Lord has really spoken to my heart. The food has been great, Brother Foskey. Thank you for your hospitality and the hospitality of the church. The choir last night was wonderful. Thank you, Brother Arthur, for helping head this up. It's been a wonderful, wonderful day. It's refreshing. I don't know about for you, but it's refreshing to me and makes you excited to get back and preach. And I'm always excited to preach, all right, but sure, it's an extra dose of that, and so I thank you so much for it. Brother Thad Endicott is going to preach for our representing our fellowship. He is the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, actually in Opelika, Alabama. As you know, Columbus is right on the Alabama Georgia line, and so our Chattahoochee fellowship, we have folks on both sides, some in the promised land, some in the mission field, and Brother Endicott's in the mission field, and now I'm in big trouble, all right. And but no, he is a good friend. I moved down from Indiana about 5 years ago, celebrated 5 years yesterday at Grace Baptist in Columbus, Georgia, and it has been good to get to know some of the other preachers, and Brother Endicott is one of those, a good friend, and I appreciate him, and he's doing a wonderful work at his church where he planted that church, replanted the church there, and God is blessing, and they're in the process of building a new building, so I know the message today will be a blessing to you. Brother Endicott, would you come preach for us?
Well, it's good to be with you today. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. Y'all talking a little bit about politics. I kind of feel like what I feel Joe Biden probably needs to feel like, and some of these new Georgia senators. I don't feel like I should be here, you know, being from Alabama. But we're excited to join with you this week. This is our first time to the Georgia Independent Baptist Fellowship, and we're excited to be here with you all. A statewide meeting here, we 8 years ago moved to Opelika. And we were praying about the mission field and asking God, where in the world do you want us? And we were introduced to a statistic as we were trying to find where we fit in missions. And as all of the needs around the world were presented, this statistic God just used to break my heart all over again for the United States of America, that 4,000 churches every year closing their doors, 850 Baptist churches closing their doors every year. And I grew up in southeast Kansas in the middle of nowhere, but we had a church and we had a pastor who was faithful to preach and teach the Word of God. I had seen many churches dying on the vine, if you will, yet we had a man of God in the middle of nowhere, Xenia, Kansas. Population at one time it was 5 until the house burned down, and then now it's population 0. But there is a little Baptist church there in southeast Kansas, Xenia Baptist Church. And it was through that church that God called me to preach at 14 years old. And out of that church in the middle of nowhere, missionaries, evangelists have gone all over, pastors and teachers. And so we thank the Lord for what has been put out of that church because of a faithful man of God who was faithful to preach the Word of God and answer questions from young men like me who had a lot of questions. And I'm so thankful for, you may not know him, but amen, I believe he's one of those you're going to be wanting to get him to sign your Bible in heaven. Amen, Dr. Gene Nelson. And we're so thankful for his faithful love for the Lord, love for people, love for the Word of God. And I feel like when we moved down to Opelika, we joined a team. I appreciate Pastor David Floyd, Marvin Parkway Baptist Church, who just opened us with welcomed us with open arms, and just a faithful man of God who's been preaching the Word of God, and he just made us feel at home there. And I appreciate his friendship and his love for the Lord and for the people of God and for the Word of God, and just the men involved in the Chattahoochee Valley Fellowship has been a great blessing. I feel like we joined a team. And that's what we are, aren't we? We're all on the same side. And thank God we're on the winning side. And we look forward to looking in the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. Would you stand? I get the distinct privilege and honor to preach after lunch. Amen. How many of you have already had a nap? All right, anyone have it? We have one. All right, my son has had a nap. He got a nap. He was up working on schoolwork last night early in the morning, and then got him up. I got him up about a little before 5 this morning. So, amen. We're excited to be here. And how many of you plan on getting a nap during this session? I hope not. All right, we'll try to keep you awake. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. Let's read that together. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you would help us, fill us with your Spirit, forgive us of our sin. I pray that the Lord Jesus would receive honor and glory and praise for everything that's said and done. Help us, Father, and each and every one of these preachers, these preachers' wives, these men and women of God who are gathered here today, I pray that you would encourage us with your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We will all face disappointment, discouragement, and disillusionment in ministry, will we not? Even pastors, and probably especially pastors, disappointment comes when expectations are not met. How many of you have ever been disappointed in life or in the ministry? We all have. We face them. And, 2020 was one of those years, probably, of many disappointments. The Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, how many of you had goals that were just ruined by 2020? I mean, you had a vision Sunday. You laid it all out there, and here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to see God do, and things just didn't quite go the way that we expected, which is what the word hope means. It's an expectation. Amen. And aren't you glad for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing? It's not a hope so, it's a no so. It's a confident expectation. But sometimes our expectations are disappointed. I hope this your message is not too much of a disappointment to you. But sometimes our messages, how many of you preachers have ever preached a message and say that was a kind of a disappointment? That did not go as I expected it to go. I've preached many of those. And then, sometimes people approach marriage and they have all of these ideals, and they find the ladies find that we men are not those Hallmark men that they, that they have all the right answers and know all the right things to say and when to say it. Amen. I'm still working on that, and I know I must be a constant disappointment to my wife in those areas. But so marriage can bring a disappointment. Ministry. How many of you, when you started your church, you thought about that, and you had all these dreams and goals and visions and aspirations of what God could do there? And how many of you, it didn't go exactly like you planned? All of us, right? I mean, boy, you had a timeline. Boy, if we could be here at this point, and we set goals, and then sometimes we don't meet those goals, and that makes us disappointed, sometimes discouraged, and it can even lead to depression in our life. And so God, knowing this, gives Joshua some specific advice, specific commands here to get him focused in on what he has for him to do. We're going to face disappointment, and we know that things don't always go as we envision them. God is faithful, though, and His plans are higher than ours, and His timetable is not our timetable. Sometimes, have you noticed this? God's will takes a whole lot longer than what I think it should. We came down here, I was thinking about 8 years ago when we came down to Opelika. We're in a little 2,200-foot rental facility. Boy, it'd be nice if we could be in a building in about 2 or 3 years and be going and growing and doubling in size and sending out. And God is, God has been faithful and God has been good, but we're still not in a building. But the Lord has provided rental facilities for us to meet in. But, you know, my timetable was not God's timetable. And just because God's timetable isn't my timetable doesn't mean He hasn't been faithful to meet every need that we have. And sometimes his timetable even gets faster than mine. I remember we were praying for 2 years. We were praying, God, where in the world do you want us? Where do you want us to serve? Anywhere you lead us, we'll go. Hey, we just show us, reveal to us. And then when He did it in a hurry. I mean, we were praying for 2 years and then bang, bang, bang. We were in Opelika just like that. And it's amazing when He does decide to move, He does it in a hurry. And sometimes He does it faster than what we want to move. But through it all, no matter setbacks or whatever disappointments, hey, God is faithful. And so I want you to imagine what must have been going through Joshua's mind here as he was assuming the leadership role of God's people, the children of Israel, about 2 million crybabies that were whining in 40 years. They'd been on a camping trip in the wilderness, and now it was his responsibility to take them across the Jordan River and begin to conquer Canaan. I don't know what he was thinking. Boy, 2 weeks, we ought to have this all conquered. I don't know what his thoughts, what his timetable was, but God gave him some specific instructions that I believe helped him and will help us. He probably felt a little bit overwhelmed. How many of you ever felt overwhelmed? I'm sure on one hand he was overwhelmed. On the other hand, he was excited. He was fearful. He had all of these different emotions going through, but I think this is wonderful. Joshua, we've got to go back to verse number 1. Joshua was the servant of the servant of the Lord. And he learned how to be a faithful servant. And before any of us will be the leader that God wants us to be, we must first become a great follower. He was the minister of Moses, the man of God. And if you want to be a great leader, you must first become a great follower. And may God help us each to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can lead others to do the same. But Moses had passed on the baton of leadership to Joshua, his servant. And God here gives 3 B's, 2 be nots, and 1 because. There's our outline. Be not, and then a because here this morning that we're going to look at. First of all, let's look at the first B. You see in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong. And so first of all, this morning, underneath the first point, to be strong. Let me just say this, the Christian life is not as much of what God wants us to do as who God wants us to be. And so many times, I don't know about you, I have a to-do list and I focus on what I need to do. Here, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And what does God want me to do? And God is concerned with what He wants you to do, but He is just as much, if not more, concerned with who He wants you to be. And He wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to be and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to do that, we must, first of all, be strong. I want to ask you this morning or this afternoon, how strong are you spiritually? You know, we could do a push-up contest to find out physically, all right, who is strongest in their upper body. We could do a squat contest here. We could bring up some weights here, and we can see how much you can squat or how much you can power clean or whatever the case may be, and to see who's strongest. I see some laughing about it. Like, I don't even want to try that. But the truth is, we can do some things to measure, but how do you measure how strong someone is spiritually? And the truth is sometimes our faith has to be put to the test. And that's why God allows things, hardships and disappointments and discouragement in our life, to show us how strong or how weak we are. And so these tests, God allows us to be put into hot water situations to reveal what's inside of us. Just as a tea bag, is when it's put into hot water, reveals what was in the tea bag, it'll come out. Sometimes we put in hot water situations and we don't really like what comes out. And so God sometimes reveals to us areas of our life that we need to work on and things that we need to consider. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, if you would turn there, verse number 10. You probably have these memorized. I probably do too, but I don't want to take any chances. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When I read that, I think of Lester Roloff singing, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." And I trust that each and every one of it, when the going gets tough, that the tough will get going, that we'll be strong in the Lord. Lord will realize that our strength is not in the flesh. Our strength is not in our personality or in our preaching. Our strength is in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And we've got to realize and not forget where our strength comes from. That was Samson's biggest problem. He thought his strength was in his hair. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so may God help us to realize where our spiritual strength comes from. But when it's put to the test, how strong is our faith? Boy, we went on a little vacation last week. We came back and I had about three problems. Bang, bang, bang. Something happened and I got a little bit in the flesh about that. I got a little bit angry and I felt it coming on. None of you preachers have ever had that, right? But you feel that coming on and you feel the flesh rising up, and then you feel yourself and you hear yourself sometimes responding in a wrong way. Just a revelation, even this last week here, as I was even studying this message, realize how weak I am. And the Bible says, by the way, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we need to be careful not to do what we do in the power of the flesh. Do you waver in your faith? You ever worry about, all right, Lord, how are we going to make ends meet this month? What are we going to do? We're trying to build a building, and then the cost of building materials has just skyrocketed. So we're just praying, even so, come Lord Jesus, we won't have to mess with it at all. Amen. And by the way, I believe the coming of the Lord is imminent. It is upon us. But do we waver in our faith? Do we waver in our faithfulness? You know, our faithfulness is an opportunity to reveal our faith. Our faithfulness reveals how strong our faith is. And so may God help us to be faithful. Listen, everything rises and falls on leadership. May we be faithful to do those things that we should be doing. Hey, be faithful to do those things we expect our missionaries to do. How many of you want a missionary who will win souls and disciple people and plant churches and mentor people, raise up men and women of God who will go out and serve the Lord and reproduce themselves? We ought to be doing the same thing. Because what's happened in the United States of America is too many churches are in mortuary mode or maintenance mode rather than missions mode. And that's why 850 Baptist churches are closing their doors every year. That's why 4,000 churches, some of them need to close because they're not preaching the gospel and they're not fulfilling the Great Commission. But may God help us. Listen, I see a lot of older preachers that are in their 60s or above that have been faithful to preach and pastor and teach the Word of God. Hey, it's time for us to raise up a new crop of young people that love this book, that love the Lord, and not ashamed to identify with the old paths as we're preached about. Not ashamed to go out and serve the Lord and preach the name of Jesus Christ and win souls to Jesus Christ. By the way, that's where it's at. The hearts of the people need to change. And the only one who can change the heart is the Lord Jesus Christ as He comes into our heart and life. And so may we be strong in the Lord. You cannot be a strong Christian apart from the Word of God and prayer. May we be people of prayer. May we be people of this book. Not just talk about it, but amen, do it. Sometimes we can preach about prayer, but do we do it? Are we involved in prayer? Do we have a daily devotional time where we spend time not just getting a sermon, but letting the Lord speak to our heart, letting the Lord work in our life? And I believe that's the key, and that's what He says. How many of you know this song, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law? All right, would you sing it with me if you know it? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I learned that as a teenager. Help me memorize the Word of God. Help me to put this in my heart. Boy, I memorized a valuable truth there. I learned a valuable truth as a teenager. You make much of this book. You let the Word of God get in you as you get in it, and it'll change your life. And God will bring success to your life. And so may God help us to be people of the book. Ask Brother Hahn if he knew that. He said he knew that. So I hoped. It sounded like I was almost singing just a little duet there. But very, very good. Be strong. Number two, be courageous. He says, be thou strong, be strong and of a good courage. He says this over and over in this passage of Scripture. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. It is time. I sat in a meeting about 3 weeks ago, pastors and administrators meeting in Alabama, there in the Montgomery area of Alabama. And I'm telling you, I went from that sick over what's going on in our country, over what's going on in our state. I'm telling you, I went from there. Someone asked, how'd the meeting go? I said, it was sickening, but it was needful. And some of us need to get a belly full so that we will speak up. Some of us, as was mentioned this morning, need to awake to righteousness and sin not. And may God help us and stir us and give us some courage to stand in this day and age in which we live. The choice and willingness is to confront agony. Courage is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Another definition is courage is the ability to control fear. Now, every one of us is going to face fear, but we need to remember what we learned as a child. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And may we go to the Lord, as was mentioned today, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want you to just to remind you that the Bible characters that you and I read about and preach about didn't know the end of the story. As they were going through the lion's den, as they were going through the fiery furnace, as they were going through the pit that led to Potiphar's house, that led to prison. Hey, Joseph didn't know the end of the story. He had a vision, he had a dream, but that did not come to fruition for 20 years. And so we remember, hey, listen, hey, our timetable is not God's timetable. It takes courage to do right, especially when no one else is doing right. It takes courage to trust the Lord when you can't see the end result. Amen. When we don't know what lies around the corner, hey, listen, we just need to do what's right. So be strong, he says, be courageous, and thirdly, be obedient. You see in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Just do what's right. Just do, observe to do that which you know you ought to be doing. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do, and God will then give you direction down the road. There's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know, Lord, what are you going to do in our life, in our building program? We're just going to be faithful to win souls and preach the name of Jesus and disciple people and keep going forward and waiting and praying and saving and trying to be ready for when God does open the door, no matter what that may be. We don't know the future, but we do know there are some things that He's given us to do. So may we be faithful to do those things. Secondly, not only be, but be not. Be not, he says, be not afraid. Verse number 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. What a great thought there. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 1, I'm going to teach you another scripture song I learned as a teenager that's helped me. It's encouraged me. It's kind of sounds like a little Israeli fight song. And you probably don't know this one. We'll try to sing it and not mess it up too much. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. For the Lord thy God is with thee. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, he says, be not afraid. When you're going to battle, when you're passing through the waters, hey, when you're going through the fire, he says, be not afraid. We're all going to face those times, those trials, those storms in our life. Then he says, be not afraid. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He looked at his disciples on that boat and said, be not afraid. It is I. And may we remember that when we are paralyzed by fear. By the way, this nation has been paralyzed by fear this year. Scared to death of death. Scared to death of dying. And I understand it that COVID has definite, you know, ramifications. There are definite, you know, problems, and people have died, just like they've died from the flu, just like they've died from other things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be cautious and we shouldn't take guidelines and we shouldn't use the brain that God has given us, but we can't be paralyzed by fear. In our churches, we've got to go forward in our churches. Amen. We've got to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ and that not live by fear, but live by faith. Faith goes forward. And so may God help us to continue to go forward and reach families and individuals and lives and plant churches and see souls saved and lives changed. He says, not only be not afraid, but he also says, be not dismayed. That word dismayed means consternation, distress. How many ever get stressed? Preachers don't ever have stress, do we? Amen. You know, that's why God gives us a wife. We can throw all of our stress on them. We cause them all kinds of stress. Hey, pray for preachers' wives. I'm telling you what. Amen. I believe the preachers' families take attacks. Amen. And Satan has his guns pointed, and not only at the preacher, but at preachers' wives and preachers' families. But I think of this when I think of this thought, be not dismayed. I think of another song, whatever betide, God will take care of you. How many of you, God has not been faithful or God has not taken care of you? Look around. Every one of us can say God's been faithful. He's taken care of me in the past. He'll certainly take care of me in the future. You know what we have an epidemic of stress, anxiety, worry, fear. You know, I've talked to college students and high school students already on anxiety medication. It's mass proportion. I'm saying it is a real thing. They are facing fear and anxiety. He says, be not dismayed. But this is the one I want to get to. We've got to bring all of our worries and fears to the one who can do something about it. These things are very real. We face stress and anxiety and fear and worry. Every one of us do. But what are you going to do with it? Are we going to hang on to it ourselves? He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a thought that the God of creation, the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, cares about you. He cares about your problems. And so that is our last point here, because this is my favorite point. Look, if you would, back in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong, be of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Here's the because. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter number 41. And we'll close with two verses here out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. He says, I am the Lord. And you know what? If we have His presence, isn't that wonderful? As we go soul winning, wherever we go throughout the world, He says, I'll go with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That right here in Georgia, that the Lord can meet with us and at the same time meet on the other side of the world. And He's there as well. What a God we serve. And He says, I'm with thee. And with Him comes this prosperity that He talks about. Not the prosperity that Joel Osteen talks about or in some of the prosperity preachers, but I'm talking about the prosperity, true prosperity from God. Hey, you want to have good success? Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. And I want just correlate this with the life of Joseph. Not everything went the way he thought it would probably go. Would you agree with me? He probably didn't, when he got that dream and that vision, he probably didn't think it would leave him in a pit or in Potiphar's house lurking as a slave or in prison falsely accused. But it says something there. In all of those circumstances, it says the Lord was with Joseph and made all that he did to prosper. Hey, man, that's the kind of... Hey, listen, you may not be where you think you ought to be, but God can still prosper you right where you are. Whether that's prison, amen, some of us may be thrown in prison. Who knows? Start a prison ministry, amen. May God help us to be faithful wherever He puts us. And the Bible says, if the hand of the Lord is on you and with you, He says He'll make everything you do to prosper. Father, we thank You for this, Your word. I pray that You would encourage Your preachers, each of these dear servants of God, as they labor for the Lord. I pray, Father, that You would use us in a mighty way in our generation. Help us just to be faithful. Help us to be strong, to be courageous, to be obedient, not to be afraid or dismayed, because You are with us. We thank You for the promise of Your presence and the peace and the protection, the prosperity that comes because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother, how old are you? I'm asking you.
43.
43. Ain't that a blessing?